today. The one Sunday, it was, the parking lot was a sheet of ice, and the other Sunday, we had no water. And so I'd like to wish you a happy new year. I know it's late. And this new year, what is the most important, what is the question that you ask yourself after church? Is it what you've learned? Is it, what do you ask yourself after church? Is it something about the message or the music or the new people that you've met or how much fun you had? What question do you ask yourself after Sunday school, after church? And the most important question I urge you to ask yourself this year is, did you meet Jesus Christ? We come together each week here not to fulfill a tradition or just to fellowship or to be entertained. We meet together here each week, most importantly, to meet Jesus Christ and to learn about Him. And the most important reason to come to church is to meet Jesus Christ. Did you meet Jesus Christ? Did He draw near to you? Did you draw near to Him? Did He convict you of sin that you needed to get right with Him on? Did He renew your faith or give you strength? Did He speak to you through His Word or from the message? Did you have an inner desire to change something in your life and to conform to His image? Did you meet Jesus Christ? To meet Jesus Christ is the reason why we gather together each week. And it's also what we want for other people. It's so sad today in America that 1 in 4 people have never experienced church in their lifetime. 1 in 4 people have never experienced what we are experiencing right now. And that's why we must be urgent and vigilant to invite people to church so they can meet Jesus Christ through prayer and the Word among a people showing the love of Christ. And I'd like you to lead you to, if you'll turn real quickly to John chapter 20, verse 31. I want to show you this text. This is the whole Bible is about Jesus Christ. And the whole Gospel of John is about meeting Jesus Christ. And John 20, verse 31, "But these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that believing ye might have life through His name." This is what I want Clappertown to be about, a place where people from all backgrounds can come together to meet Jesus Christ in the living Word of God and believe in His name and have life. And so this morning, if you're here for the first time and you're new, I am so glad that you're here. If you haven't been here for a while, I am so happy that you're here so that you can meet Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is so happy that you are here because He wants to meet with you. Loved ones, if someone came up to you and asked you who God was, how would you answer them? If someone just come up to you and just said, "Hey, what is God all about? Who is God?" What would you say? Do you yourself know who God is? Do you know who God is? When you look at John 1:18, where John writes by the Holy Ghost, he says, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him." There are two observations in verse 18 of John chapter 1 that I have seen. First, no one has ever seen God the Father. No one. There was a time in America where you grew up and all you heard was the Bible, and you either believed it or not. Now we live in America, in my generation, where people are professing different kinds of faiths. There are Muslims, Jews, Hindus, New Age, the occult, and they're all talking about how they know God. And you have people in my generation and children and teenagers who are asking themselves, who really knows who God is? And loved ones, the Bible says no one has ever seen God the Father. That just cleans up a lot of clutter. Now, you may say to me, in the Old Testament, there are examples of where Adam and Eve walked with God. Moses talking to God. You have Isaiah's experience with God, where he saw the Lord. And there were times when God appeared in visible form. And theologians call it theophanies. Theophanies. The appearances of Christ, the angel of the Lord. The appearances of the Son of God. Theophanies, it's called. Boy, doesn't that word make you smart? Makes you feel like you're smart. That's a $100 word. But the Bible makes it clear, loved ones. In 1 Timothy 6:16, who only has immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, who no man has seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. God is Spirit. God the Father is Spirit. In Isaiah 6:1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Yes, it says, Isaiah did see the Lord, but if you read on, it says the train filled the temple. It was only the hem of His robe, the hem of His garment that He saw in the temple. Just imagine how big God is. Isaiah coming in the temple and the glory of the Lord, the smoke, the glory of the Lord filled the temple, and he only saw the very hem of God the Father. Only a hem, only an edge of God the Father, a hem of His garment. Loved ones, we serve a big God. A big God. In Exodus 33:18, Moses wanted to see God's glory. And God says in Exodus 33:20, and he said, thou canst not see my face, for shall no man see me and live. To look upon God, you would be struck down all right on the spot. And God says to Moses, I will put you in the cleft of the rock and put my hand over you as I pass by, and I will take my hand away, and you will only be able to see my backward parts and glory, but you cannot see my face. And Moses saw the afterburn of the glory of God. John says, no one has ever seen God the Father. Now think about that. No one has ever seen God. Not Moses, not Isaiah, not Muhammad, not Dalai Lama. No one has seen God. You will have televangelists on TV. You will have some guru pastors that will tell you that they saw God the Father. No, no, no. It says in His Word, no one has ever seen God the Father. Don't believe everything you hear. Do not believe everything you hear. Secondly, in verse 18 of John chapter 1, when you look there, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. John is referring to Jesus Christ. He is the subject of the entire gospel, the entire Bible. So how can Jesus Christ do what no other religion can do or person could do. There are, in John chapter 1, in verses 1 through 18, there is a sevenfold description of the awesome glory of Jesus Christ. And I'll give it to you in a sentence. In verses 1 through 18 of John chapter 1, Jesus Christ is eternal, personal, divine, creating, life-giving, incarnate Son of God. This is a sevenfold description of His awesome glory. Number one, He is eternal. Jesus Christ is eternal. Verse 1 of John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. Thank goodness it does not say, in the beginning was God. No one has never seen Him or made Him known. It was the case that if that was the case, there would be no need to make us or create us if it said in the beginning was God. No, it says in the beginning was the Word. God speaks, He communicates, He makes Himself known. He is eternal, an eternal God. The second thing, He is personal. And the Word was with God. It's personal. There is personhood here. The great truth of the Trinity itself is right here in other scriptures as well. The Word is not an aspect of God or a characteristic of God. It's not like God's love and mercy. The Word is Him. John 1:3. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So with God, there is personality. There is personhood. He is divine. John 1:1. And the Word was God. The Word was God. There is divinity. He is divine. There is a divine person here. He's not part of creation or some emanation of an angel. There is personhood here. Word was with God. Deity. Word was God. And when you look at verse 18, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. You have personhood, deity. In both verses 1 and 18, in both verse 1 and 18, you have personhood, you have deity. And both these personhood and deity were created by whom all things were made. He is eternal, personal, divine, and creating. Jesus says in Revelation chapter 1, 17 to 18, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am He that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. And it says the exact same thing in Isaiah 44 and verse 6. He is eternal. He is personal. He is divine. He is creating. Number four, He is creating. John 1, verse 3, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. You look at the moon and you look at the stars, and nature speaks of His greatness because they are the handiwork of God. Nature bears some impression and expression of who He is because He is the Creator. In John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. That very Word was in John chapter 1:1. And in Genesis 1:1, the very Word, the little word was, means that the Word had already existed before creation. It had already existed even before anything was created. In Genesis 1:1 and John 1:1, the word had always existed. In Colossians 1, in verses 15 to 17, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Go there real quickly, please. I want to show you something. Colossians chapter 1, look at verses 15 to 17. And it says there in that text, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? The Jehovah Witnesses will take that verse, and while they're at the door with you, they will tell you that Jesus Christ is not the same as God, that He did not always exist. They'll take that little verse and they'll say to you that Jesus Christ had never existed at that time. But when you read on from that text, it reads, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. You read on that scripture and you tell them that scripture, because Jesus did exist even before creation ever happened. Jesus Christ is eternal. He is the Creator. When you place your faith in Jesus Christ, our Creator, there's a love and a self-worth and a value that happens within you when you place your faith in Jesus Christ and you look to Him as your Creator. You feel valued and you have purpose in your life. And everything that you do for the Lord has meaning. Look with me at Psalm 90 in verses 14 to 17. In Psalm 90 in verses 14 to 17 it says, Moses in his prayer talked about this. And it says, Moses in the prayer, oh, satisfy us early with Thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein Thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let Thy work appear unto Thy servants, Thy glory unto their children. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish Thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish Thou it. Everything that you do, when you start believing that God is your Creator, when you start believing and surrendering by faith to an eternal God, everything that you do in your life has meaning and value and purpose, and you'll do it for the glory of God. He is eternal. He is personal. He is divine. He is creating, and He is the life giver. Number five, He is the life giver. John 1 in verse 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. All life is given and maintained by the Word. So what makes me alive? The question is, who makes me alive? It's the Word of God that breathes life into me. Through this being Jesus Christ, who is being introduced to us in this text, here in these verses, He became incarnate. And this Word became flesh. In verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word, which is the expression of God, became flesh, who came to live in us. That baby that laid in that manger that we celebrated Christmas for, He was the eternal Word of God. God Himself with us. As we listen to the words of Jesus Christ, it is God the Father speaking to you. God in Him reconciling you to Himself. He is the life giver. Oh, John, here in his gospel, he wants you to meet Jesus Christ. John wants you to come to Jesus Christ. He is eternal. He is personal. He is divine. He is creating. He is life-giving. He is incarnate, number six. And he is the Son of God, number seven. He is one with God the Father. Although Jesus became fully human, he was yet also 100% God. Hebrews 2:17. John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 14. Jesus Christ had two natures. He was divine and he was also human. Jesus says to you, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Only Jesus Christ knows the Father, John 6:44. The Muslims claim to know God. The Jews claim to know God. The Hindus, the Taoists, the Shintoists. Loved ones, they don't know God, only Jesus Christ, and only we who accept him by faith and follow him. Do you want to know God this morning? Do you know God truly this morning? John, in his gospel, he is extending to you a marvelous invitation to you, to God, who has come into the world to make himself known. Jesus Christ is offering you something that is so wonderful, to know God the Father. This was written so that you could have life through his name. John chapter 20, verse 31. Those of you who do know, you might meet up with someone who doesn't know God. If you ever have anybody come up to you like an agnostic and they say to you, well, nobody's going to know God. Agnostics, they believe that nobody can know God. If you ever have an agnostic come up to you and say to you, no one will ever know God, you know what you could tell them? Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. In John 1:18, you take them to that scripture. It says there, plain as day, no man has seen God at any time. No one has seen God the Father at any time. You could tell them they're right. You could tell them, I understand. How can we possibly know? And then you could take them to the second part of that verse. Take them to the second part of that verse in verse 18. And then it says, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And you could tell them, Jesus Christ knows God the Father. And if you would just place your faith in him and surrender to him, you will know God the Father also through Jesus Christ. Oh, loved ones, do you know God? Do you know God? What would you say to someone if someone came up to you and asked you who God was? You just take them to John 1, verses 1 through 18, and you explain to them who God is through Jesus Christ. If you don't know who God is, I beg of you to surrender your life to him right now. Surrender your life to him by faith. There is nobody who knows God but Jesus Christ. No one has been with him but Jesus Christ. That just cuts to the core. This is your filter. This is the Word of God. All heads bowed, eyes closed. Take time, take a minute and pray. take a minute and pray. And surrender yourself to Jesus Christ. Surrender to yourself to Him. Ask Him to give you life through the Holy Spirit. Ask Him to fill you with His Spirit. He is the life giver. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to pray this prayer with me. If you do want to know God the Father, you need to surrender yourself to Jesus. Lord Jesus, I believe with my heart, soul, and mind that You are eternal. That You are personal. That You are divine, creating, incarnate Son of God. I surrender my life to You. Please forgive me of all my sins. I believe in Your death, burial, and resurrection. Thank You for saving me. In Your name and authority and power. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you are saved. And you have the gift of eternal life. And there will be an inner desire within you through the Holy Spirit to want to be like Him, to follow Him, to read His Word, to meditate on His Word, to pray. And by following Jesus, you will know who God the Father is. Let's sing our closing hymn, Jesus Paid It All. Page 491. Jesus paid it all. Red hymnal, page 491.
I hear the Savior say, Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me Thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find Thy power and Thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all, all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Brother Roy, would you close us in prayer, please? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I dropped it off. Elijah gave it to her. Mike?
What?
Mike is like looking at you like...
What? Hi. What did I get? What were you giving?
Nothing. I'll tell you later. Jeannie, love you. Have a good week.